Welcome to the Occupational Health Special Interest Group podcast. I'm your host, Chris Studebaker. The Occupational Health Special Interest Group, or OSIG as it's known, is part of the orthopedic section of the American Physical Therapy Association. It seeks to unite therapists across the country who work in the occupational health setting by sharing information, disseminating research and regulatory information, offering a discussion forum, and creating pertinent links to external resources. If you go to the webpage at the orthopedic section, which is www.orthopt.org, you can find the OSIG section by clicking on the link for special interest groups. There you can find the OSIG tab. From their logon instructions, it will lead you through the process of getting to all the resources on the page. Any member of the orthopedic section may join, and membership is free. If you join, you can have access to a host of resources on the website, including some occupational health physical therapy practice guidelines that are currently posted. These include evaluating functional capacity, management of the acutely injured worker, prevention and ergonomics, legal and risk management, the physical therapist in occupational health, and advanced work rehabilitation. A few background pieces of information on the Occupational Health Special Interest Group's current and upcoming events. This year's combined section meeting will be held in Indianapolis from February 4th through 7th. Being that I'm an Indiana native, I can assure you that you will need to pack warm clothes for that. It's never too early to start planning for the next combined sections meeting, so be sure to attend and keep your eye out for OSIG events, which will be posted a little closer to February. This year, the APTA is excited to offer a home study read for credit module entitled Work Injury Prevention and Management, Ergonomics. This gives you a detailed background on assorted topics in occupational health for the physical therapist. It goes into such things as FCEs, post-offer pre-employment testing, ergonomics, rehabilitation of the injured worker, etc. So if you get a chance, check it out. With all of our quarterly OSIG podcasts, we'll delve a little bit deeper into a particular research topic. This month, we're going to discuss the effectiveness of post-offer pre-employment testing in reducing the incidence and rate of work-related MSDs. Now, those of you out there who work in the occupational health environment are surely aware and probably even perform or create post-offer pre-employment tests. While they may go by a lot of different names depending on the company that makes them, all of these tests share in a few key features. We try to create these tests with ADA and EEOC defensibility in mind, and in so doing, create tests that are very representative of the actual work required of the job for which the applicant is applying. Now, several authors have looked into the effectiveness and the cost savings of implementing one of these programs. In our monthly email alert, we covered one study from Anderson and Briggs in 2008 from the journal Work. They found that new hires who successfully completed post-offer pre-employment tests had a 47% lower workers' compensation rate and a 21% higher retention rate at 175 locations that utilized post-offer pre-employment tests. They found that there was a 41% reduction in worker compensation injuries associated with implementing physical ability tests. Similarly, Rosenblum and Shankar found, again in the journal Work in 2006, in their study, which was entitled A Study of the Effects of Isokinetic Pre-Employment Physical Capability Screening in the Reduction of Musculoskeletal Disorders in a Labor-Intensive Environment. They found out of 503 new hires that were screened to match the physical demands of their prospective jobs and monitored for work-related injury costs, rates, etc., that of the non-screened applicants, there were 2.38 times more likely to experience an MSD-related injury than the screened applicants. So the people who had gone through pre-employment testing were 2.38 times less likely to develop a work-related musculoskeletal disorder. The people who did not go through pre-employment testing incurred 4.33 times higher costs of work-related musculoskeletal claims. Also, Harbin and Olson, in their study Post-Offer Pre-Employment Testing in Industry from the American Journal of Industrial Medicine in 2005, attempted to develop a testing protocol for determining physical capability that could be adapted for a post-offer pre-placement program. Their study found that workers that passed the screen had an incidence of low back pain of 3%. However, those who did not pass the tests, who did not demonstrate the strength or physical abilities to perform their job, for that group of people, there was a 33% incidence of low back injuries. So a little bit over a tenfold increase in incidence of low back pain for the people who did not go through the pre-employment screening process. Other authors have looked just at the cost effectiveness of post-offer pre-employment testing in industry. Ferris found in his article, Lowering Nursing Injuries Using Post-Offer Pre-Employment Testing, that nurses who had gone through pre-employment screening incurred far less workers' compensation costs than those who did not. There was only 5 injuries reported in the pre-employment test group, as opposed to 54 injuries in the non-pre-employment testing group. The total return on investment of this study was pretty staggering. Also, Littleton, in his article, Cost-Effectiveness of a Pre-Work Screening Program for the University of Illinois at Chicago's Physical Plant, also in the journal Work from 2003, looked at the ROI for a pre-employment post-offer testing program and focused on 712 screens which were completed between 1998 and 2001. In this study, workers' compensation costs, injury rates were compared between non-screened and screened workers. The study revealed a cost savings of $18 per dollar spent on screening. So for every dollar that the University of Chicago or of Illinois at Chicago spent on pre-employment testing, they saved $18. So pretty good cost effectiveness there shown with the post-offer pre-employment testing. So for those of you out there who either perform or create these tests, I hope these articles and their findings can be of a little bit of use to you. Perhaps when marketing new companies or trying to show the cost effectiveness of current programs, these might come in handy. Thank you for listening to us today, and be sure to visit the OSIGS message board and research links on the orthopedic section's webpage, again at www.orthopt.org, under the special interest group tab where it says Occupational Health Special Interest Group. Thanks, and we'll see you next quarter.